Glory. Aren't you thankful for the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord again with you tonight. It's always a blessing and a privilege. And I appreciate Brother Corey. Kayla's sick, so Justin is having to take care of her. She, and when I say sick, she's sick. So several things going on. We miss people when they're not here, but you're here. Amen. And you brought Jesus with you, and I brought him with me. So let's just go ahead and do like what Brother Corey said. Let's worship the Lord, and let's be in the place to receive. Amen. Tell you what's on my heart. The Lord started something this morning, and I don't think we quite got done with it. And so we're going to look at some scriptures that's on my heart. And the Spirit of God said he wants to help us pierce patterns. So, you know, we get into a pattern. Everybody knows what a pattern is. You know, you get in a pattern, and if we're not careful, we just keep going around and around in that pattern. You know, I think about a lot of times you hear about people who are on airplanes, and they get caught in a kind of a pattern where they just got to keep circling and circling for whatever reason until they get to land. But, you know, if we're not careful, we can get into patterns of life. And so the Spirit of God wants us to pierce past patterns and to learn how to get new ideals of activity. Not, I don't want to say habitual things, but walking in a routine with the Lord that makes our life easier. Amen. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's start reading in verse number 1. And we'll just lay a foundation here and see where this goes. Before we do that, though, let's just say that. Decree it with me. Today, I sever Satan's separation. Amen. Everything that the devil would do to try to separate you from God's best, in the name of Jesus, with your voice, my voice, let's sever it. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. We're people of faith. Amen? All right. So let's see and understand some things. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So faith is our title deed, but I want you to hold that in your mind. And now let's drop down to verse 13, because this is where we're getting our thought for tonight. We see what faith is, and we know that we've got faith, but Hebrews 11 and 13 talks about all these previous that were mentioned that we don't have time to look at. But these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now notice, this is why we come here. Verse number 15. Talking about these who were looking for something better. How many is looking for something better tonight? We got to be cautious, even though we're people of faith. Look what it says. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been, all of these heroes of faith, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now mark that down. They might have had opportunity to have returned. Sister Victoria, would you pray? Yes. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. So here we see this chapter 11. Every one of us is familiar with it. We know it very well. And it is the heroes of faith. And every one of them, they had faith. They had an Old Testament version type of faith to be able to do the plan and the will of God. But here you and I under the new covenant, we're in the same place that they're in. If we're not careful, we'll get our eyes on the past. We'll get our eyes on what once was going on in our life, what once was happening. and we'll get to looking at those things, and it'll touch our heart, and it'll pull on our heart. And if they could have, in their walk, been moved to the things in the past, you and I have got to be cautious to recognize and realize the very same thing could happen to us. And so, that's if we're gonna break through, sever Satan's strongholds and his strategies. If we're gonna pierce through all the past limitations of the enemy, then we've got to be cautious of this. So let's look at verse 15 again. It says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country, you and I, we've got to be so cautious, so grateful and so thankful of where God's brought us from. But we've got to recognize and realize that those things are still as powerful today as they were then. Just because you get born again and I get born again, that's all with the new man, the new creation. Your flesh body, my flesh body, our mind, will, and emotions of the soul, it can still be touched, tempted, and pulled by all of those things. And so we've got to be careful what we think on. The Bible says, think on the good things. Amen? We need to think on Jesus Christ. We need to put Him high above all things, and He is that Word. But at the same time, it says for us to be mindful. Don't be mindful of the old, but be mindful of Him. Don't rehearse the things of the country from whence they came out, because it says they might have had opportunity to have returned. You and I, if we're not careful, we can get in a situation, in a circumstance, where we can smell a certain smell. We can feel a certain emotion that we felt years ago, and that's been long since removed from us. But that very scent, that very emotion that rises up, it can take us right back to where we felt that the most powerful, where it had the most influence on us, and all of those things. And so tonight, if he's telling us the heroes of faith, they had to be on guard for that, how much more do you and I need to be on guard for it? Amen? Because we're living in the last days. Do you recognize and realize that the Word of God is unfolding before our eyes at a greater time than we've ever experienced in our lifetimes? Jesus is getting ready to fulfill His Word, because mankind is moving in a way that He's going to have to do what He said He would do. Amen? And so you and I have got to be mindful, not on anything that would pull us away from God, but on fulfilling His will in these last days. So I want us to be encouraged about some things, and let's talk about how we can make sure we don't go into an old pattern and we can start a new one. Go with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to pull out of this with your worship, with your watching, and with your words. With your worship, with your watching, with your words, you're going to be able to start a new pattern in your life. You're going to be in a place where you're going to make sure that you're not going to long for anything the past has to offer, because the past is that. It is the past. And the things of God in the past is going to follow us to heaven. Amen. Throughout all of the eons of time, the things of the old man, the fallen nature, thank God we've been delivered from them. Amen. And we're not going to look to them or allow the enemy to make us feel deception about it. I feel a strong urgency in my spirit. You don't let the devil make you think that you're missing out on something. Don't let him make you think that things that look in the natural so good that we could get our heart on it and it can be having an affection toward it. Don't do that. Amen. Don't let the devil trick you. All right. Now let's look at this. Colossians 4:2. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He says, continue in prayer. Continue. Continue. You and I today, we've got to be in a place and a position where we pray like we've never prayed before. We've got to recognize and realize that this thief, this roaring lion, is out there seeking whom he may devour. And he is bringing temptation. He is bringing deceit in so many different ways. He is working hard in your government. He's working hard in my government. There's laws that is coming up that's coming against you and me. If you and I, if we were in California today and I said something that was contrary to the law that was passed Friday, they would come and put me in jail. Now, that's California. It's coming. It's coming here. It's coming quickly. They're telling you and I that we can't tell people what this Bible says. We can't tell them that God can change who they are. Come on, God changed me tonight. He changed you tonight. I was touched and changed by a living God that nobody can tell me that is not real. And He needs to be presented to a group of people who are bound up in sin. And if they don't hear about the grace of God, they're going to find themselves in an eternal place of judgment. But you and I, we've got a place of bliss. We've got a place of hope to talk about, to preach about, to live before them. And we can't let man's laws stop the Word of God. Amen? We've got to stand strong. But the only way we can do it is we've got to continue. This word continue means to persevere. It means to persevere. Sometimes it's hard to pray. Come on. Sometimes it feels like that heaven is brass. But it doesn't matter what it feels like. We know what God says. Amen? And you and I, we're walking in obedience, not disobedience. And just because it feels like brass, it isn't. Because Jesus Christ, He's the open door. Amen? He opened the door. He opened up heaven for you and I. And our faith, our confidence is in Him and His finished work. And brass can be all around us, but we have a very atmosphere to be able to reach our Father. It's the throne of grace. Amen? You can reach God anytime you need to or want to because He is always beckoning you, drawing you unto Himself. Amen? And so tonight, so you have to make up your mind. In my worship, I've got to persevere. Because when He said continue in prayer, this word prayer is not just prayer. It's worshipful prayer. It's recognizing and realizing like we were doing tonight what God has done. Oh my goodness, Jesus has made you free. Amen? Jesus has washed you in His own blood. He took my black sin and put His red blood on me and made me white as snow. Same way with you tonight. Amen? That's what God's done for us. And the Bible says that blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the boy, blessed is the girl whose sins are not imputed unto us. Come on, we're blessed. We're blessed. When God looks at us, He doesn't look at the past. He looks at Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? And so I've got to persevere in my prayer to break out of all of these past patterns and not allow them to hinder me or limit what God would do in me. Now, He said, I want you to continue in this worship of prayer. I want you to be in that place where you're strong. So can we take a little time tonight and look at some stuff? I want to teach a little bit. I want to allow this just to get in our heart. Let's look at this word continue from the Greek and go with me to Acts chapter 2. Let's understand when He says to persevere what He really means. I want to just read this because it'll take a little time, but it'll be worth it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, this is where Peter preaches the message. You know the scriptures very well, but to get the full context, I want to make sure that we hear it. Come on, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is where we're at tonight. People are living their life, and they're living their life and dying without Jesus because somebody's not pricking their hearts. Now, we know that we can't do it, but the Holy Ghost has to have a vessel. Say, I'm the vessel. You're the vessel, amen? Just your presence. You don't have to confront anybody. You just have to, unless the Spirit of God leads you that way, just the presence of the Lord on you brings conviction, brings light, brings truth, brings love. When I'm around you, I feel different. I feel better, amen? And it's the same way. It doesn't matter. They may at first be a little pushed back by you, but when they see that you love them and you're not judging them, you watch and see. They'll draw up to you. They'll come around you. Because why? Because there's a peace there. There's an answer there. But anyway, here, their heart was pricked. And look at this. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. You got to have a change of heart. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Can you imagine where we're at now? And when then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued. That's the same word. When he said continue in prayer, look at verse 42, and then we'll look at verse 46. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They persevered. The early church, they come together and they persevered together. You and I, we've got to tell people that they need you. They need the body of Christ. They need Jesus. They need the church. See, right now the world is trying to make the church irrelevant and saying, oh, it doesn't matter if the church doors close. It has no impact on the community. But you and I, we're here to represent Jesus' church. Jesus said, I'm going to add to my church daily such as should be saved. And he said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not. Amen? No way. It's not possible for the gates of hell to prevail against you, the church. But we've got to be in a place and a position tonight where we cause people to understand you can't come to church when you want to. You can't pray when you want to. You can't just do what you did in the past. That's what I did in the past. I did what Greg wanted to do. And I was one miserable man. Now, you and I are called with a holy calling. We have the privilege of fellowshipping with the Father through Jesus by the Spirit 24/7. We have the opportunity to come together, and I can rub up next to you, you can rub up next to me. We can feel the Lord. We can have peace. We can impart words of wisdom, words of encouragement, words of comfort to each other. That's what this is about. And the early church knew this. Now look what it says. They continued steadfastly. They persevered. Think about the pressure they were under. There was immense pressure because after they killed Jesus, and they were coming on up to where they're going to kill Stephen, there was immense persecution. And under that pressure, they knew that they had to have one another. Right now, I don't mean to be negative, but persecution is coming back to the body of Christ, but God's going to use it to make us draw closer together. He's going to use it to cause us to see how strong of an entity in Jesus we truly are. You look, all through the church age, when persecution came, growth came. And if there's going to be a revival, and there is, there's going to be a great falling away. We know that. But there's going to be a group of people out there who haven't been touched with the gospel, and they're going to be touched because they're going to see Jesus in your trouble. They're going to see Jesus in my trouble. They're going to see the power of us breaking out of the past and accepting the new. Amen? Now look what it says in verse 46. And they continuing, same word as continue in prayer, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what Jesus wants to do. But we've got to continue in prayer. We've got to persevere. We've got to be in a place where we recognize that we need each other. You talk to people and they go, well, I don't go to church. And I watch this program on TV. Hey, that's great. That's great. But you realize you may be able to be fed that way, and that's good. But are you feeding somebody else that God wants to use you to feed? See, God wants you, and it may not be in the church. Now, when I say God wants you working for Him, the church is not just inside this building. The church is you. And He wants to work through you wherever you're at. Amen? And so we need to be in church, and that means being Jesus, being His plan, being His will. I want you to know you've got something to say. Come on, you have a tongue that is like a two-edged sword. You have a heart that is full of the love of God. And you have an ability to share that will cause people to come from where they're at into a place of where Jesus has led you and is leading you to. Progression. Amen? Progression. All right. So let's go back to this in Colossians. Now notice what he said. He said, I want you to continue in prayer. I want you to persevere in this worship. And I want you to learn from the pattern of the early church. And I want you to be in a place where you notice it says, we didn't take time to read it, but they lacked nothing because they had all things common. See, I don't have all the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe the gift of the Spirit I need is operating in you. I need you to operate in my life. I need you to fellowship with me. I need you to help me. I need you to encourage me. And so if we're going to continue in prayer, in this worship of prayer, we're going to be in a place where we allow Jesus to do what he did at the start of the church. Come on, the way you start something is the way that you want it to finish. And that's the way it's going to finish. Amen. So I want us to see this. So in my worship, if I'm going to change my pattern, if I'm going to sever Satan's strongholds and his strategies, and I'm going to persevere through those past patterns, I have got to be in the place where I change my worship. My worship is not just this few minutes here at this altar. My worship is a lifestyle. Your worship is a lifestyle. You realize when you open your eyes in the morning and you say, praise God, that's perfect worship. Hallelujah. No music, no anything. That's just you lifting your heart unto God. Amen? Oh, glory. That gets all of heaven's attention. That causes the aroma. When you do that, when I do that, there is an aroma of praise, a sacrifice of praise that is released as incense in heaven. And it pleases God. It comes up before His nostrils. That comes out of you. That's why the devil wants the first thing in the morning, ruin your morning. Because he doesn't want you to be able to offer to God that morning sacrifice. And he wants you to be too tired in the evening to offer that evening sacrifice. Come on now. But we're talking about changing some things. Okay. Notice what he said. Continue in prayer and watch. And watch. This word watch, it means to keep awake spiritually. To keep awake spiritually. We need to be in the place where we recognize that there's many things that's happening that's trying to rock the church to sleep, trying to rock people to sleep. But you're of the day. Come on, say, I'm of the day. Paul said that the children of day, they are what? They're looking. They're watching for the coming of the Lord. You're looking. You're watching. You're hungry for the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord, not just to take you to heaven, but the coming of the Lord in every situation. The coming of the Lord to minister to somebody. The coming of the Lord to be able to encourage somebody. To be able to help somebody. See, the Lord comes through you. Oh my, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the vessel of the Lord. Amen. And you have that opportunity to share that with everybody. And so in your watching, he said, continue in prayer and watch. So in other words, the reason why some of the world is in trouble right now, they've let their prayer life down. And when you let your prayer life down, that stops the vision. That stops the ability to stay awake and be able to watch and to see what God would have you to see. Think about all the things that God showed you in your deep prayer time. Come on, they're priceless. The things that God has revealed to you, the encouragement, the strength, and all of those things. God didn't change. He's still the same. So if we'll stay in that place of that watchful prayer, guess what? You're going to see what you need to see to be able to not only impact your life, but to impact everybody that God brings to you. Oh, glory. I want to be missed, don't you? Not me, but the Spirit of God in me. I want people to, if I'm not there, I want them to say, where's brother so-and-so? Where's sister so-and-so? Why? Because I want them to miss the anointing that is on me, the anointing that is on you, the presence of God that you carry. I want them to know that when they come in contact with Jesus, things are going to be better. Things are going to be different. So we're going to persevere. We're going to sever these things, and we're going to do it this way. He said, continue in prayer and watch. Go with me to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, it's about the end of the age. It's about where we're coming on to rapidly. But look what he says in Matthew 24, 42. Out of the mouth of Jesus, he says, watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. We've got to be in the place where we, being God's watchmen, that we make people look up. Right now, I was watching people at Old Dark Memories Days, and even the young people, there were so many that were depressed. That were browbeaten and beaten down. There was a lot that was having fun, but there was a lot they would walk by and they wouldn't make eye contact. They couldn't look up. They were looking down because of the circumstance of life, because of what they were dealing with and what the devil was doing to them in their life. And it breaks your heart because you want them, if they'll make eye contact with you, you've got a chance to let them see Jesus in you. Amen? And so we want to be in that place where we can cause them to come out. This things that they're dealing with, it's not going to last forever. Jesus is going to come literally, but He's going to come on the scene. He's going to come on the scene in that situation, and He'll come in an hour. I've missed God before. Have you ever missed God? I've missed Him. He wanted to help me. He wanted to help me, but I was so caught up in what I was wanting, the way I was wanting to do it, that I missed what He was wanting to do for me, what He was wanting to do in me, and what He was wanting to do through me. But you know what? Repentance changes all that. Amen? And puts us back in the right place. Now, look at Matthew 25:13. Matthew 25:13. This is the first 13 verses dealing with the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. And look what He says in verse 13. Jesus says, closing that parable up, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Jesus is coming. Amen? And the devil wants us to make us think, well, someday, I've heard that preached all my life, someday He's going to come, but it probably won't be in my lifetime, if we're talking about the literal coming of Jesus. But He also beats people down and makes them think, well, you've prayed, you've witnessed, you've testified, you've done all of these things in your loved one's life, your friend's life, your neighborhood, whatever, and you're not seeing any change. Jesus is coming. Because you've done brought Him there. You have sowed. There's some of you in here, you have sowed seeds. Massive amount of seed of tears and prayer and love and works with your hands in people's lives. And God is going to honor that. He is a God that remembers. God never forgets one thing that you've done, one prayer that you've prayed. God has got it marked down, and it's going to come to pass. Amen? Jesus is coming on the scene. So let's don't get into past patterns. Let's break through those things, and let's believe. Let's continue in prayer. Let's watch. Let's watch. Hallelujah. Let's look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul gives an admonition here. We're talking about setting up these new patterns to break out of the old. Acts chapter 20. Paul says in verse 27, Acts 20:27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." In other words, I've announced in detail. I have rehearsed it. I have rehearsed it before your eyes. The will of God. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Why? Because for this I know, verse 29, "For this I know, after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Now here's why we came here, verse 31. "Therefore watch, stay awake, be vigilant, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you day and night." We have got to be watching. Watching because there is a subtle change. A subtle change that's going on. You remember, you know, it's not been that long that when it might be a hard line sinner. But if they knew that you were a Christian, they would respect you. They would respect that. And that was the norm. But now we're at a place right now where people have grown so cold and so hard that they've lost all respect for authority. And if they see you as an authority figure, then immediately they reject you. And so you've got to be in a place where that doesn't put you in the past. That doesn't limit you. You say, wait a minute, I'm going to believe Jesus is coming in on this scene. I believe He's going to do something because I'm watching. I'm not letting what I'm seeing stop me. I'm not letting what I'm feeling limit me or hinder me. I'm in a place. I'm in a place where I'm pushing through these patterns and I'm allowing God to do what He wants to do. Amen? Now let's look at this one more time. Go back to Colossians 4:2. He said, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." That's what Brother Corey was leading us in. This thanksgiving of praise. This thanksgiving of worship. We've got to see that worship is the key. Thanksgiving is the key to everything. Because when we're thankful for what God has done, we'll believe what God's going to do. See, the devil wants us to forget what God's done, where he can cloud our minds and our judgment and make us believe that God won't do what he said he would do. But you know he'll do it. Because you, if I had time, you could tell me, every one of you in here, testimony after testimony about how good God is and how thankful you are. Amen? And so we've got to continue in that. You've got to keep the thanksgiving up. And so let's see how this works. Go with me and let's spend just a minute in the book of Psalms. And I want you to see some things here. Now, your thanksgiving is like we said, is like the morning sacrifice. It's like the evening sacrifice. When you're thankful to God and you praise God, no matter what you feel or what you see, it just, your voice will, does one of two things. And Brother Corey got on this, and I got excited about it when he did. Your voice will either hearken fallen angels, or your voice will hearken faithful angels. Your voice will hearken fallen angels, the devils, or faithful angels, God's. Amen. And so let's look at this here. He said, now continue in that place of thanksgiving, and let's see what thanksgiving does to us. Psalms 141 and 1. This is the main reason why we've come here. Lord, I cry unto thee. Now, this word cry from the Hebrew, it means that you're calling a person by name. So this morning, this is why the Lord got us in that direction just a little bit. We talked about this morning that when Abraham needed a sacrifice other than Isaac, that the ram was there. And he named the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will see and will provide. Okay, so here the psalmist David is saying, Lord, I cry unto thee. In other words, I call you by your name, by the covenant name. I call you by what you have promised me. In other words, if we're needing salvation, we call on the name of Jesus, because there's no other name under heaven which a man, a woman, a boy, a girl can be saved, right? And Jesus is the full understanding of God. But when we recognize that we can call on Jehovah Jireh, we can call on God as our provider. That's what I'm saying. You can call on God as your deliverer. You can call on God as Jehovah Nissi. God is my banner. In other words, he's shining above me. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. All of these things. So the psalmist here is saying, if we're going to get out of the past, and we're going to be able to continue in prayer watchfully with thanksgiving, then we're going to talk to God in the very way that he would have us to. Call on his name. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I, what? The second time, when I cry unto thee. And David's saying, I want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear me talk to you. God wants to hear you talk to him. He's in heaven. He is just waiting to hear you, your voice. Talk to him. And so, see, the devil says, when the devil brings condemnation, like we were talking about this morning, and we're in that place where we feel defeated or we feel like there is no victory, he wants us to talk to God in that place of defeat. Because when I'm like that, I don't talk to God as victor. I talk to God like I'm the sinner. But not just the sinner, I am the sin. And see, but God says, you talk to me like who I am. In other words, God, you are my Father. You're in heaven. And you created me, and you made me for this time. And I'm not going to let the label of the world, I'm not going to let the label of the past be a hindrance or a limit on me. I'm going to call on you, and I know that you're going to hear my voice, and it's going to activate your word in my life. Now, stay with me just a minute. He said, verse number 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. See, your prayers, that's what I was talking about. Your prayer is an incense unto God. In the Old Testament, they offered a lamb in the morning, they offered a lamb at night. And that incense went up before God. And so you and I, now we're to pray always because we have that opportunity and that ability. But when we pray, it's just like that offering of the lamb going up before God. And when we talk to God through Jesus, His lamb, then that incense goes up to God, and that prayer that we're praying to God immediately impacts our life. It changes our attitude. And as soon as my attitude, can't speak for you, but as soon as my attitude changes, my actions change. And that's what I want. I want the actions of the Lord, don't you? And He can help us to do that. But notice this now. He said, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." Now that be set before thee, from the Hebrew, it means it blows right in God's face. So, what the devil wants us to do is, instead of us being thankful, he wants us to be ungrateful. And see, when I get an attitude of gratitude, that comes up into God's face, and it's a sweet-smelling sacrifice. But if I get an attitude of hatefulness, of unthankfulness, of not being grateful, and all of those things, that's like blowing smoke in God's face. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm around the fire and that smoke gets to blow in my face, I move, don't you? Well, I don't want God to turn His face away from me. And I want to help people see why their prayers are not being answered, why they're in a place and they've got to break out of the past. Because the past, if I talk about the past and talk out of my past experiences and I talk about what I'm dealing with, then I cut that sacrifice of thankfulness, I cut it off. And Paul said, if I would continue in prayer with watchfulness, with watching, and with thanksgiving, he said it would change my life. It would change who I am because the Word of God would be real, working in my life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Now notice, he said, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Now let's see some things just for a second. This word incense here, it means just that. It means incense. It means fumigation. But if you take the word back to the prime, it means that the incense of God, the praise of God, the praise to God, it drives the enemy back. It literally means to drive the enemy out of the land. You know, when the children of Israel, when God told them to go and to take the land, when Caleb and Joshua believed that drove the enemy out for Caleb and Joshua. But when the other 10 spies didn't believe that, what happened? They said, Lord, we're as grasshoppers to them, right? And what happened? That's what they become. They become that because they had talked to God out of their past experiences and their past limitations, and that's where they stayed. They died not walking in the fullness of what God would have for them. But you and I, we're going to break out of those things, and we're going to help other people. We're going to teach them how to break out, because if they'll just thank God instead of grumbling about what they're dealing with and what they're feeling, if they'll be thankful and get their eyes off what they don't have and get their eyes on what they do have, then all the blessing of God comes. This is critical now. This is very key. If we're going to be able to help people, we've got to get, because every time, God wants us to be able to bring them to an altar and to show them Jesus and to get them past their struggle and those things, but He wants us to help them to move on. To move on and to recognize and realize that if they'll just start being thankful that they're saved. You know, so many times we talk to people, and I'm sure you do too, and they want you to pray about a specific thing. And thank God we can do that. But in your heart, you're aching in your spirit because you know that's not what they need. They think that's what they need the most. But God is wanting to do something that is greater and bigger than that. But see, if we stay in that vision of the past, and we can't see that God is the God that is more than enough. He is greater than all of these things. And He wants to work and to minister in our lives. So, Notice what it said here. He said, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. That's what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? He wants us to put Him, number one, put Him where He's supposed to be. And with this attitude of thanksgiving, then the sacrifice that we are giving really brings the fullness of the understanding of the sacrifice of Jesus in our life. See, tonight, I just understand just a little bit about Jesus. But the little bit I understand, it's exciting. It's wonderful. It's blissful. It's amazing. But if I will submit to Jesus and I'll start worshiping Him for who He is, these things that have a stronghold in my life, these things that keep me in the past, these things that are pulling on me, they get put under His feet. And I get in a place higher in Him. Amen? Now, let's document that. He said, verse number 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. And this has got to be our prayer tonight. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. If I'm going to continue in prayer, and if I'm going to be watching, and I'm going to have thanksgiving, I've got to pray that prayer in all earnesty and ask the Lord to help me, because my weakness is to gripe. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. That's how my old man operates. And when I get out of the spirit and get into the carnal man, I want to gripe. And when I gripe, that is not a sacrifice of praise to God. That does not activate the faithful angels. That activates the fallen angels. Amen. And I'm in a place. So I pray this prayer, and then I start calling on God in the name that He is. He is the Lord God above all. Now, go with me to Psalms 103, and we're going to close. But I want you to see what happens when we do it God's way. We've looked at these scriptures many times. You're familiar with them. But Psalms 103, verse number 1. Notice here, David is he's continuing in prayer with thanksgiving. He's watching, and look what he says. Psalms 103, verse 1. Thank you, Brother Ryan. You're doing a great job. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. See, all of a sudden, when we start blessing the Lord, we start offering that thanksgiving. See, I can't be thankful to God when I'm going, why is this way, God? Why is my life this way? Instead of trusting God that He has something better, I'm complaining to God about it. You know, why does Donna treat me this way? She treats me really good. I'm joking. But you know what I mean? We find something to complain about. And we do that, and we tie God's hands. But if I stop thinking about the problem and I start thinking about Jesus, I address God by name. I bless Him. I bless Him because He's blessed me. The Bible says you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
God can't lie. That's what He said about His church at Ephesus, and you're a part of the church, wherever it's at, amen? So you're blessed. You're blessed. So I need to bless the Lord. I need to tell God how thankful I am. Now notice, He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. You see, when I start having this continuation of prayer, watching with thanksgiving, I start seeing the benefits of God. I start seeing the names of God, the covenant names of God. I start seeing that Jesus, yes, He brought salvation to me. But Jesus, He brings healing to me. He brings deliverance to me. He brings victory to me. He brings peace to me. He promises me that He is the God of all comfort, that He comforts me in all of my trouble. I need comfort, don't you? Sometimes nobody else understands, but God does, and I just need to know that His arms are around me, and He understands me. Sometimes I don't understand myself. You're just quick on that. Notice this. Verse 3, who forgiveth all of thy iniquities. Isn't that exciting? Oh, glory. I could mess up 99 times, and God's there with His arms wide open. And this is what we've got to tell the world. You know, so many people, you talk to them, they go, well, when I get my life straightened out, I'll come to Jesus. You'll never straighten up your life without Jesus. Don't believe that lie. Come. He said, come as you are. Come as you are. And He's the God that forgives. Amen. But David here is saying, who forgiveth all of thy iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases. See, when I get in a place of prayer and I start worshiping God, just like you said Wednesday night, Sister Apple, you said you come up for prayer, but you got what you needed before you even received prayer. Because Jesus met you because you met Him by faith. Come on, that's what this is all about. All of a sudden, when we start worshiping and honoring God, and we're continuing in prayer, and we're watching with thanksgiving, all of a sudden, that name, the name of the Lord, it becomes more real to us. The name of the Lord in all of those situations of life, and we recognize and realize God is the God of everything about me. He loves my family more than I do. He can take care of situations that I can't even start to take care of. And I'm going to lift Him up. And I'm going to honor Him. And I'm going to not let anything happen of the enemy to belittle me or to belittle my God. Come on now. Amen? All right. Verse number 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, from the pit. Amen? And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Because we're doing what the Apostle Paul said. We're honoring God. We're worshiping Him. There is a crown of grace that's on your life. You've got a crown of life, yes. You've got many crowns. There's at least 7. But you've got a crown of grace. That means that grace is ruling your life. The grace of God that is sufficient for every situation is ruling your life. Hallelujah. The grace of God that went into my sin and pulled me out. Amen. Went into your situation and pulled you out. So I need to address God and I need to be in the place where I'm worshiping God as in His kingdom. Because if I do that, then the grace will be revealed to me in a more intimate and a more applicable way. I need to know these things about God. I don't need to know about them from somebody else. I need to know them for myself. And He wants me to know that. And that happens in this prayer life, in this communication. It's not about me just getting down here, though thank God I can. It's about me walking moment by moment. It's about you walking moment by moment. God is talking to you in every heartbeat. I'm sorry, but don't get mad at me, but you and I are not that smart. But with God, we are. Because the little things that you and I do that are success, that make a difference in life, He put that unction in you. He put that desire. He put that ability. He put that possibility for all things through Him. Amen? So tonight, what I want you to take home with you is the understanding that to be able to get out of doing things that the old man wants to do, the things that the devil wants to keep us limited and hindered by, I have got to do what the Word says. And if I'll do that, if I'll just, what did He say? He said, continue, persevere in prayer, in worship. Be watching in everything that would try to hinder that and limit that. Be watching about that and be thankful. Because if you're thankful, that means you're going to have victory in every situation. No matter what it looks like, it's God's kind of victory. It's best victory. Amen? But we call out on God by that covenant name. That covenant name of Jesus. He is all of God's blessings and promises wanting to be presented to you. But not just to you, through you. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You, we worship You, we honor You, we magnify Your name. Lord, we thank You that You've gave us guidance, You give us instruction. You give us an ability by Your Word to see through the things that would limit us. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us just to see the strategies of Satan. See the past patterns that are of way of thinking and way of talking that might be limiting us. And help us to come and to praise You in the area, Lord, that seems like we never quite get the victory. It's there, but we haven't participated in it because we haven't faithfully spoke out and activated the faithful angels that You would have to minister to us, for us, with us. Lord, right now, touch every person in this building. give a revelation and an unction, a fresh work that will build them up and encourage them like never before. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and help us, let us pray with you? I want you to be built up, and I want you to be encouraged in every way. I want you to be in the place and the position where you're able to worship God even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't see the answer, but you offer that sacrifice. And when you offer that sacrifice, then all of a sudden, the fullness of the covenant name, the revelation that God has more for you, and it's by your faith and by your act on the Word of God that it activates the will and the plan of God in your life. Would you come? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you. We magnify your name. We lift your name.